You're listening to Bison Report Radio.
It's going to be interesting to see how Richmond wants to play this in terms of what he does. If he does want to go out and try to get some immediate help there.
The man, the myth, the legend, Greg Menard, rushing the passer from his right-end position as a senior, and I think a legitimate National Defensive Player of the Year candidate.
You're listening to Bison Report Radio from Scout.com. Here's your host, Ryan Burns and Ross Uglum.
Welcome back, everybody, to Bison Report Radio. I am your host this week, Ross Uglum, editor at the Bison Report. We are without Ryan Burns, who is otherwise indisposed, but that means we have a very exciting episode for you this week with guest host Cole Jerick. Cole, the former NDSU defensive end and current owner of Dynasty Performance Training, the presenting sponsor of this podcast. Cole, how's it hanging?
Not too bad. I mean, I think we're making a major upgrade with hosts at this point here.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
no, things are good. We're winding down with the college football season. It's crazy. It's almost playoff time. Big weekend with senior day. That's always a cool thing going on. So excited to talk some football.
For sure. You know, I'm on Keith's show every Friday, and I talk about just how difficult it gets to, and you have to do like an hour to an hour and a half show after every
it's
game.
It's brutal.
But it's so hard to really talk about this team in a different way, especially when so many of the games follow the same script. It's getting very, very difficult to come up with a new way to talk about 48-7. So, but hopefully, obviously, that time's coming to an end soon, because even though I think we have maybe one of those coming up here, then it's playoff time after Thanksgiving, of course. Let's hit the news real quick. Talk a little NDSU hoops. The Bison men beat a very good mid-major team in UC Santa Barbara. That was a UC Santa Barbara team that had just gone to Wyoming of the Mountain West and won in Wyoming. And they got blown off the floor in Fargo. So that was a really impressive victory by North Dakota State. They had 11 guys play at least 6 minutes, had nobody play more than 26 minutes. It was a complete black and white from the way that Richmond has played in the past. You have 36 minutes from Paul Miller, 38 minutes from A.J. Jacobson. I mean, these things are, like I said, it's just a different team. And then today was actually the first game of the Bahamas Classic. Miami of Ohio was picked to finish second in their division in the MAC, which is probably a higher mid-major league, of course, than the Summit. And NDSU led most of that game, but a scoring drought, and they ended up dropping that game by either 7 or 9 points. They will play Incarnate Word tomorrow in the Bahamas and actually be heavily favored. Football news for the week, Easton Stick was named the Valley's Offensive Player of the Week for his ridiculous performance down in Springfield, Missouri. Easton finished or started the game 11 for 11. I think maybe even at least 4, if not 5, of his touchdowns were in those first 11 throws. And basically, you know, he let it go 11 times, and after he let it go 11 times, the game was over, which is kind of incredible. So we'll get into a little bit of a Missouri State review. There's not a ton to talk about, but we'll get into that right after this ad right here.
Dreaming of being faster, stronger, and more confident? Let the professionals at Dynasty Performance Training morph your body into dominating the competition. Their proven workouts will correct your form, hit your goals, reduce injuries, and enhance your life. And the team at Dynasty Performance Training will be with you every step, every lift, and every sprint on your way there. Visit DynastyPerformanceTraining.com and research the experts today for athletes, for adults, for teams, for you.
All right, Cole, not much to say about Missouri State. We talked again about, like, it is getting difficult to continue to tell this story. But I felt like this was a little bit of a different way of going about it. Missouri State was not particularly excellent stopping the run. I mean, when you look at their season-long statistics where they rank in the FCS, but Messingham came out and threw the ball all over the yard. Why do you think that was?
I think part of it was the defensive game plan Missouri State brought to the table. Like, hey, we aren't very good at stopping the run. We need to load the box up. We need to blitz. We need to do these different things. And when they show these run looks, our safeties, you know, we gotta get in the fifth, gotta get in the box. And their play action pass game was wide open. I mean, these guys were so open. I think, Ross, you could have maybe even gotten the end zone a couple of times in this game. I mean, Nate Jensen didn't have a guy within 35 yards of him when he scored his touchdown.
I would have scored on that one.
Yeah. I mean, it was pretty special. And I think you look at things, it's like, what's a defense going to give you? And they're like, hey, we're not going to give you the run game today. So Mess is like, okay, we have Easton Stick, the best college quarterback in FCS football. We'll just use him. We'll just throw it for 5 touchdowns in the first half, and this game will be over before they even blink. And I think Mess does a really good job of taking what a defense gives them. If they're going to take away the run game, then we're going to throw the ball. We're going to take our shots. If they want to play man coverage, I don't care who we have at receiver. We think we can win that battle out there. And if they're going to try to play some zones and lay back a little bit, we're going to pound them with the rock and pound them with Easton and pound them with the running back. So I think we just take what defense gives us, and it makes it so dynamic.
And it's sad that I would go back to game that they won by 10 and complain, but that's what I thought was missing in Youngstown State. Mm-hmm. I thought Youngstown State, and I think Youngstown State's probably a better team than Missouri State. I think if those guys played on a neutral field, I would probably expect Youngstown to win. But I really felt like that was kind of their game plan, was you guys are not going to run the ball. And the aggression was not there in the Fargo Dome. The down the field passing wasn't there. They were not trying to, okay, this is what's being given to us, we're going to take it. I really felt like they kind of beat their head against the wall for a while. And then in the fourth quarter, they went out and won the game. But the opportunity maybe wasn't there to go up 35-0, but I think it was there to get a few more points. So I'm glad that they saw that, hopefully, in the Youngstown tape, went to the Missouri State game plan with a decided effort and thought process that said, okay, if they're going to give this to us, we are darn sure going to take it. One other thing I wanted to point out, and then we'll kind of move along because, like I said, there's not a ton to go over, but I really thought that Seth Wilson was dynamic. I thought that he looked like the best back on the field, which is high praise because there were a lot of really talented backs, most of them in North Dakota State. But, I mean, you know, Lance played in that game, and Cofield was involved in that game. But I really thought that Wilson looked like a game-changing guy. 5'11", 200 pounds. I mean, he has at least the frame, you know, where you're not a Lance and you're 5'9", you're not a Brooks and you're a 5'9", you're the frame of a King or the frame of a Sam O'Jury, where you at least look like you can carry the rock 25 times if it was necessary. You've got Cofield, you've got Sabian Clark, you've got Ty Brooks, and you've got Seth Wilson. Am I making too much of one appearance to say that I think that Seth has a chance to lead the team in rushing next year?
Yes and no off one appearance, but I think if you look back at his film from what he did last year, you see how dynamic he was. And then for, you know, his offseason, he got better. Unfortunately, he got hurt early on in this year, which might end up giving NDSU another year of this kid.
Right, yeah.
But by the sounds of it, it doesn't sound like he'll play this week and then playoffs, so he'll get back into the action and get after things a little bit. So I'm excited to see what he can do, because I think he is the lead running back for this team next year. I really think he can tote the rock, and I think any lead running back for NDSU is going to be more so around like 20 carries max, because we got so many horses in that stable. We'll have 5, 6, 7, with true freshmen still coming in and using their 4 games next year. You know, barring injury, you won't have to give a running back more than 20 carries in a game. So I think he's probably your lead horse next year, but you don't need to give it to him 30 times.
So what have you thought about the 4 game thing? I mean, we haven't really discussed that. I didn't have that much of a chance to talk to you on the air, but what have you thought about the way that this has been used? Obviously not something defensive linemen, offensive linemen are going to really have a chance to get involved in, but the skill kids, you know, are physically ready to do it, and a lot of them have.
Yeah, I think it's really good for some of these kids, especially in the recruiting battles you have with teams. It's like, you know, a lesser program might steal a kid from you, like, hey, you're going to come play as a true freshman. And we're like, yeah, well, you can come play as a true freshman for 4 games, win a national championship. So,
and then play 4 more years.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And then play 4 years after that and have a chance to win 4 more championships. And I think it gives these guys a taste of what college football is like. I think you can take them on road trips now and show them what a game day looks like on the road. And you know, Trey Lance has traveled every game, has played 2 games, and the experience he's going to get from this year is unlike most, you know, backup quarterbacks. You know,
more than Easton got.
More than Easton ever got. And I think that'll translate huge for next year. I think it's awesome for the development of players, and because you can keep them in the game plan, you can use them into your game plan throughout the season. You can teach them the defense instead of being on scout team for the entire season. You get a chance to develop these kids in practice and have them with the ones and twos and see how they react to different things. So I think it's a great rule. Helps kids with, or teams with depth issues, not at really NDSU like, but I think overall for the FCS level, Division I level, it's a really good thing to do.
Yeah, I'll be fascinated to see. I mean, you would just assume that they would sit Seth for the next 2 games,
yeah,
and then have him available for quarters, semis, and the championship. Which would be interesting, obviously, because then the staff is admitting that it thinks that they're going to. You know what I mean?
For sure.
Because if you sit in that first playoff game, you know, it's kind of like, well, this isn't a must win,
right?
But I think that there's enough of that first round playoffs, enough of the results where they kind of know that that's kind of a breeze. But be very interested to see that senior day,
right?
What is that like? I mean, played golf at the Division III level. We actually didn't have a senior day. Nobody came and gave me a hug before I teed off.
Can't believe this.
Yeah, for the last time in front of 19,000 fans. So I got to explain for, I would say, most of our listeners who also haven't come out of the helmet, what is that like when you, the spotlight actually shines down on you, such a team program. I mean, the team, I think, is actually up in the locker room, or it used to be. I think my parents have some glasses from like the 1983 championship that say the team. These are kind of holy words or something that's really part of the program. Yet at senior day, they call your name out. They put a spotlight on you, and you shake hands with the coach. What is that whole process kind of like?
It's special because, like you said, it's such a team culture. When you run out of the helmet, it's the North Dakota State, you know, Bison. It's that group. It's that team. And for 20, 30 seconds, it's all about you. And it's really the only spotlight you get as a player. Unless you're, you know, Easton Stick or one of the top-end players, you're going to get the media. You're going to get your interviews.
Right,
everyone knows who you
every
are.
Every Tuesday.
Yeah, exactly. Every Tuesday. Can I get Easton Stick for an interview, please? But,
yeah.
You know, it's a little bit different. You know, there's a lot of guys, there's a lot of seniors in this class that people probably don't know are seniors. Like, they've never heard their name before.
Yeah.
And for those guys that put that work on scout team and put that work on
like Bryce and
two,
Ross and get kids.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, it makes a huge difference. And for them to run out of that helmet, full uniform, have their name announced, and that crowd give them a round of applause, is just saying thank you for everything you've done for this program, and give everyone their 20 seconds of fame is a pretty cool deal. It's a pretty emotional deal. When we were all in that tunnel as seniors and stuff, and the one that stuck out to me probably the most was Grant Olson when he came out with off a knee injury and stuff like that. You know, there's a lot of crying essentially in there, a lot of wet eyes in there. It's an emotional deal, and because football's played at such an emotional level, you're so ramped up and ready to you know, tear someone's head off at any time, and all of a sudden it's like, man, this is the last.
You got to throttle way down, you got to throttle way back up.
Exactly, yeah. It's an emotional roller coaster early on in that game, but you know, fortunately, it's not the last time they step on the field through that Farber Dome, thanks to playoffs and stuff now. So it makes it a little bit different. You know, they have the thoughts that we'll have three more home playoff games after this. So obviously, you know, we take it one game at a time. But so I think that changes it a little bit. But just to have that, you know, 20 seconds of fame for seniors is a pretty cool deal.
Right now, we've got a awesome interview that I was able to get with Bison tailback Lance Dunn. Lance was actually, when he was talking to me, it was about 15 minutes before his senior talk when they get in front of their teammates, and so he talked a little bit about that. Didn't let us in on what he was going to talk about, and he probably shouldn't have, but talked about this season, his kind of lost season last year, and what it means to him to be, you know, exiting the program now after five fantastic seasons. So here's my discussion with Lance Dunn right now. Here with Bison senior tailback Lance Dunn. Lance, how are we doing?
Doing pretty good.
You kind of drinking it in this week, senior day. And I know, like, senior day gets a weird rep around here because, yes, it's senior day, but you guys are probably going to play two or three more games, you know, at the Fargo Dome. So it's not necessarily the last time you run out of the helmet, but it is, you know, they're going to call your name. You're going to have to go shake coach's hand, and then you're going to have to play a football game. What are you kind of preparing for mentally?
Yeah, like you said, it's a big week, you know, even though we kind of know we're still going to have, you know, a few more games in there. It's just, you know, just a good week with last, you know, regular season game with the seniors and everything. And, you know, we're just looking forward to, you know, all the other guys stepping up for us and just reminiscing on all the old times together. It's just a really important week.
Have you had your specific chance to stand up in front of everyone and speak?
Actually, I go today.
Okay.
After practice. So, you know, I'm kind of just going to go up there, and I don't really got anything planned. I'm just going to go straight from my heart, just, you know, let them know how I feel.
What's that tradition been like? I mean, you've obviously been a recipient of those talks from, you know, the guys that came before you. Describe that tradition for the people listening, and kind of how important it is to the program to listen to what every senior has experienced as they're on their way out.
Yeah, just over the years, you kind of realize that, you know, these some of the guys are saying the same things, and that kind of tells you that, you know, this that's what they really mean, and, you know, this the tradition and culture we have around here, and just the stories that they tell us, you know, it's it just tells you how good of a program this is, and the guys that have came through here, and, you know, the future guys that always come back and always talk to us, the same thing, you know, this tells you it's a great tradition here.
So last season, you're on pace to break, like, every touchdown record in the history of North Dakota State. And then you get hurt. What was that like? I mean, how was that, not necessarily becoming a cheerleader, but being just in the room, unable to play, being in the rehab group. And there were a lot of guys that were in there. I mean, Greg was in there. Mm-hmm. Dylan was in there. There was a lot of guys getting ready to be back to play. But what was that like? Because if I'm not mistaken, you'd been pretty healthy in your career prior to that.
Yeah, I was healthy before that. I was healthy though, my whole career, but you know, after that happened, you know, obviously it hurt, you know, because I'm such a competitor, and I want to be able to contribute and be out there, and because I know I'm a great football player, and I know I can contribute, but you know, I knew that, you know, God had a plan for me and everything, and I knew we had a great team, and I knew they were going to give me a chance to play as long as I kept going with my rehab every day with Bobby and all that stuff, and just. And I really just wanted to help the younger guys out and help Bruce out in any way because I knew he had to step up and be that guy. So, yeah, I just knew that, you know, they were going to give me another chance to play in the playoffs. And I did that, and I did whatever I could. And obviously I wasn't 100% in the championship game. I probably thought I was, but compared to how I feel now, I definitely knew I wasn't.
That was my next question. Yeah. I mean, was James Madison that good, or did you not just quite have it? I mean, was that a thing where, like, I'm going to go because this is the national championship game?
You know, I felt like it was just, you know, I wanted to just really play. I wasn't 100%, but I just knew it was the national championship game, and I just wanted to, you know, to say that I played in that and I contributed.
So describe your relationship with Bruce. He was the recruiting class after you, obviously, because the kid never redshirted. But you guys, after the decision was made for him not to redshirt, have them in the same playing class the whole way through. You split carries, and now you have this situation where you can kind of impart wisdom onto him because he's having to deal with a nagging injury that's taking part of his season. Have you guys bounced stuff off of each other? I mean, what's that relationship like?
You know, we have a really good relationship. Like last year when I went down, you know, and he had to step up, you know, I was always there for him. And I feel like we just learn off of each other, you know, and when we're both healthy, you know, we obviously, you know, we're great, well, you know, a little 1-2 punch or whatever. And we also got younger guys too. But, you know, me and Bruce, you would think that we wouldn't, you know, we're like enemies, but no, we're really like actually really good friends and stuff. And we like to see each other succeed.
How much, and Bruce obviously is involved in this too, but how much of your job now that you probably have a pretty complete understanding of the offense, how much of your job is to get ready for Saturdays, and how much of your job is to teach Seth and teach Adam and teach Ty and keep, I mean, even Sabian and the younger guys, how much of your job is to make sure that running back room is stocked for after you're gone from here?
It's very important for me to, you know, obviously study the game plan for myself, but then just teaching them, you know, how to watch film and how to study and all that stuff. Like, I feel like I'm getting really, like, better at that just because I've had experience. And, you know, I do whatever I can to help those younger guys every week because I know that, you know, Coach Mess does a good job of, you know, spreading the ball around, getting everybody opportunities. So I know they're gonna be in the game plan somewhere, so they have to be ready for that.
What is kind of working with Coach Mess like? Because obviously Coach Mass is unique in that his responsibility is the entire offense, but he's your position coach. Do you never feel slighted, but do you ever feel like you guys are kind of on your own, or is there another offensive assistant that kind of works with you guys?
Wait, can you repeat that? Sorry.
Right, so obviously, like, Coach Mass is the offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
The entire offense is his job, but he's your position coach. So do you guys ever have a situation where another offensive assistant is working with you and Coach is over with the quarterbacks or over with the offensive line? I mean, what's that like having the OC as your position coach?
You know, it's a blessing to have him as a position coach and an OC coach. You know, he's an intelligent guy. He knows the offense. He knows the game of football really well, and he teaches our guys that good. And it's not just him that coaches us. It's Coach Riley. He always helps us out with anything we need, any questions. He's really intelligent too. And then Coach Roll, you know, obviously he played running back here, so, you know, we feed off of information from him, and he tells us stuff that, you know, what works for him and stuff like that. So, You know, it's not just Coach Mess. It's a whole offensive staff.
Team effort, group effort, sure. You guys have when you come to, I mean, of course, being a Bison player, you understand the fans' expectations now every year is to go down and win the national championship. But when you guys get to fall camp, it seems like the message that's put out is win the Valley, win the Valley, win the Valley. You guys won the Valley 2 weeks ago. You won the Valley outright last week.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's senior day. It's a celebration of all the things that you guys have accomplished. But you still have to beat a Valley football team on Saturday. How important is or how are you guys managing having kind of accomplished everything you want to accomplish, but at the same time you have to be ready to play Southern Illinois?
Yeah, you know, that was always our goal at first, just get that Valley. We always, you know, that's the number one before we think about anything. And then so now we're working on that, you know, just winning the senior night for the seniors. That's really important for us. And, you know, like you said, we're celebrating and everything, just being a part of each other's for the past 4 or 5 years. But at the same time, you know, you still have to be locked in. It's a game. It's a conference game still. You know, they're still a good team. And, you know, we want to go out right for these seniors.
What have you seen on film from Southern Illinois? What are you guys kind of expecting?
You know, they have a, you know, really good defense. They run, I think they do a lot of four down, it's a few three down, but, you know, they got a, you know, athletic linebackers, good DBs. You know, it's really just all about us. We're not, you know, every week it's about what we're going to do. If we do what we can do, then, you know, we'll be able to be successful.
Last question. I think I asked you this 2 or 3 years ago. Fully healthy, you and Bruce line up 40 yards. Who's winning?
I'm always going to say me. I got to say me. You know, it's just, I just can't see myself losing. That's how, I'm just competitor like that.
All right. Thanks, Lance.
No problem.
All right, Southern Illinois. I asked Kleiman, I mean, that was my first question on Tuesday, or on Monday, excuse me, was you've won the Valley 2 weeks ago. Last week you won the Valley outright. You talk about the Valley as their goal. I mean, the fans are always like, we're going to win a national championship. But as I understand it, when they get to fall camp, they talk about winning the Missouri Valley Football Conference. And really the playoffs are kind of their own thing. So you've accomplished everything you need to accomplish. You're probably 35-point favorites. I haven't looked at it. And so much is being made of the graduation of Easton Stick and the graduation of Greg Menard and the graduation of all 24 of those kids. How do you avoid this being kind of like a celebration and sort of forget to play SIU?
I think this senior group is you know, confident enough in their abilities to kind of walk on the field and play with anybody, and they know how they get up for games, and they've been through the routine so many times that I think having a few distractions isn't going to deter this team. If there was a bunch of sophomores and freshmen playing with, you know, one stud quarterback and D-end and that was leaving, and, you know, not a 24 or 25 right. person senior class,
yeah.
I think it makes it a little bit different. But I think you'll see a little bit of impact in this score. I think Southern will score 21, 24 points in this game, partly because they do have a dynamic offense and partly because this game is one of the most meaningless games NDSU's played in the last 10 years. Like, NDSU could lose this game by 40 points and be a top two seed next year. Like, so it's kind of a weird, like, not necessarily like trap game, but it's just a weird feeling game where it's like, hey, we want to be an undefeated
season. It's an NFL
playoffs.
Preseason game.
Yeah, it's essentially what it is. We're getting warmed up for the playoffs, and, you know, guys got nicks and bruises, and you want to keep some guys healthy. So yeah, I think you'll see the gas pedal come off a little bit in some situations, and some other guys get some more reps. But I think we're down enough with this senior class, and we have enough talent on this team to take care of business in this game. But it's Missouri Valley. Like you said, you always preach you want to win it every year, and you want to, you know, we have a chance to go undefeated in the Valley, which doesn't happen very often. So I think for this senior class, it's kind of a pride thing for them to go get the undefeated season.
Yeah, and it's a chance for them to be the only other team besides 2013 to win every game, mm-hmm. you know. And when you win every game, then you get involved in the conversation of best FCS team of all time. You just are. If you're undefeated, you get to at least be involved in the conversation. So that's a big deal. And, yeah, I think I said that on Keith's show, and this will probably air after that is on the radio. But I said you might see 14, 17 points out of SIU for a number of reasons. I think you know, Kleiman is going to be a little bit more aggressive in resting guys. I think Kleiman's going to be a little aggressive in maybe trying to give some of those seniors a chance. You know, right. your Bryce Bennett's and your Ross Efforts's, and if they are up by 21 in the fourth quarter, you might see the scout team kids or whatever. I mean, because right. It's senior day, you know.
You want to get those kids in as much as possible.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I still think NDSU wins the game comfortably, but you're right. I didn't either predict 7 or 10 from right. SIU. I predicted a little bit more. Athletes, that's what I always hear. Lance said it, Shep said it, SIU is very athletic. Why are they not good? I mean, why have they kind of struggled to piece it all together? Because, like I said, one of the coaches and both of the players that I spoke to just raved about the athleticism of this SIU team.
I think part of it is, you know, the culture down at SIU. It's been poor for a little while there, and I don't think they have their, you know, their dominance built into there. This was once a program that was very dominant in the Missouri Valley, and this was prior really to NDSU getting into the conference. But they have a ton of conference championships down there. They're a proud program, and they
Jerry
have a
kill.
Yeah, Jerry yep. Kill had an unbelievable run. I think the head coach now is a quarterback down there. When Jerry Kill was coaching, and I think he's trying to install that culture that they had back in the day. And culture takes time; it's not a 1 year transition into things. And just because you have talented players doesn't mean you're going to be good, because your schemes aren't buying in yet. Your other things aren't buying in. And I think the schemes and the way that they're playing football and the mental mentality they have right now is holding them back. Because talent wise, I think we talked about this before the season. It's like, man, Southern has a chance to be maybe the third best team in the Valley with the transfers they brought in, the talent they have, and then. You know, sometimes, you know, transfers don't pan out. NDSU's taking transfers, and they've never seen a snap here, you know, before. Yeah. So transfers are hard, and I think they're trying to build through recruiting and trying to supplement transfers in, and I think that's where they're kind of seeing that issue right now, is the transfers haven't panned out.
Yeah, people forget that Coach Bull didn't just show up and went in.
Right.
I mean, that's not how it worked. It's not how it works now. You have Cole's prediction, or what is? I mean, you think NDSU gets into the 40s and they get into
the 20s? It's like 55-24.
Okay,
I don't think we have issues scoring on other ones or twos all game long, but I do think they score a little bit there. So
yeah, and there might be just a little bit of an incentive. I think their coach said Walter Payton Award winner. I think you might see a chance to maybe boost Easton's statistics a little bit. And they would never admit to it.
I think he gets the Missouri Valley rushing title for career this week, too. I think he needs, what, 32 yards to get to that. I think they make sure he gets that, and I think they boost his stats, which is not normal for NDSU. But, hey, if you have a chance to win the Walter Payton, I think you got to try to help a kid out and win it for him.
Right, for sure. And I think Stick has such a special, you know, and Kleiman kind of downplayed it on Monday and said that they're all special. But Easton Stick had every chance in the world to follow the former staff to Wyoming.
Yep.
And for him to commit to Coach Kleiman and to decide that North Dakota State was going to be his deal, and then for him to turn out to be this level of player, it's got to be special to Chris, because the loss of Easton Stick, I think, from that recruiting class, we might not be talking about as many championships as we're talking about. So I think it's got to be a special deal, and I think Kleiman's going to want to not necessarily pay him back. He doesn't owe Easton anything, but right. I think you're going to want to kind of allow that to happen or do anything that you can. Well, we got one more kind of fun thing for you here. I've got another North Dakota State University senior, really a kid that has exploded this season from a production standpoint. And that's Darius Shepherd, was kind of the second fiddle type of guy to RJ or Zendowski during the earlier parts of his career, but he's the man now, and there is no question about that. He has been, I think, just exceptional from game one, and I was able to sit down and talk to Shep for a little bit and get his thoughts on kind of graduating, moving on, and having his last Valley game in the Fargo Dome. So we'll listen to Darius talk right now.
Here with North Dakota State senior wide receiver Darius Shepherd. Shep, how are we doing?
I'm doing real good.
What are you feeling? I mean, this is, and of course, I think senior day gets an interesting reputation around here because the standard is there's like three more games at home after it.
Right.
But this is when you're going to be recognized. This is when you're going to have to go out of the tunnel and shake coach's hand and kind of deal with the fact that you're done with Valley games, you know, in the Fargo Dome.
Yeah, you know, it's a big emotional week, and it's been, you know, a long time coming. It's crazy to think that it's already here. But, you know, we're excited to, you know, finish the regular season off the right way, and it's going to be, you know, a fun weekend to, you know, like you said, go out the tunnel one last time and, you know, experience all that.
You've been, from just a statistical perspective, I mean, on another level this season. Do you feel like last year was a little bit of a lost season for you, nagging injuries-wise or production-wise, or do you think that having lost RJ out of the offense and you becoming more of a focal point, you just have risen to that level this season?
I feel like last year, you know, it was a variety of different things. I think I could have played better some last year. I think there was times where just, you know, the play didn't go my way. But, you know, this year it's just been fun trying to take advantage of all the opportunities I'm given.
This club obviously now has a confidence. I mean, you generally, I would say the fans probably have this expectation of winning a national championship every year. But when you guys get to fall camp, it's always win the Valley, win the Valley, win the Valley. You guys have now won the Valley. You've now won the Valley outright, and you still have a game yet to play. How do you avoid a letdown now that, you know, so much of what you wanted to accomplish has been accomplished?
Right. Yeah, you know, we set those goals and we've reached them, but I think now it's still all about us and just trying to, you know, get better this week. There's a lot we can do to, you know, keep performing and get better so when we get to the playoffs in a couple of weeks that we're ready to go.
How much does having 23 senior brothers around you make that easier to kind of keep, not necessarily control of the locker room, but keep everybody in a mental space that they need to be in?
Yeah, I think it's really huge. There's so many leaders throughout the senior class, and, you know, they have so much respect amongst the guys on the team, so I think it helps keep everybody ready and, you know, focused each week.
You had a chance to play with Carson. You've had a chance now to play with Easton. Just what kind of a – and I don't want you to compare the two because I think that's kind of been played out, but yeah. What do you see from Easton Stick every day, even in practice? But, I mean, how special is he as a talent?
Right. I mean, just the way the dude prepares every single day. I mean, it's amazing to see that, to watch that. And then when he comes on the field, you know, he's so confident. He believes that he's going to make every single play on the field. And, you know, he does it most of the time. It's really impressive. And he's an incredible player. And it's been fun to be teammates with him these last 4 years.
You, I think, have – and RJ was kind of like this before you, but you have kind of a ridiculous percentage of the catches and the yards. And, you know, from the wide receiver group, you have a lot of the total production. How much of what you are kind of tasked with, or maybe you task yourself with it, is, okay, I have to get myself ready to play football, but how much also is like, okay, I need to help Phoenix. I need to help Christian, and I need to – kind of help Andy Voin and help these younger players along in their careers? They talked about it constantly with, you know, Carson kind of teaching Easton and now Easton teaching Trey. How much of that goes on in the receiver room?
Right. I think when I was a young guy, you know, I was trying to build that chemistry with the quarterbacks and really learn the offense and be in the right place at the right time. And now that I kind of have that down, I want to, you know, pass that to the next guys coming up because I want to see this team have success. And the young receivers are doing a great job. And, you know, I'm trying to take it on myself to make sure these guys, you know, taking good notes and seeing the coverage preparing each week. And Coach Ray's done a phenomenal job, you know, adding to that this year too in our room.
Yeah, what's that been like? You were Coach Austin, obviously, your entire career here. What has Coach Ray brought that's better, you know, not necessarily better, but even different? Like, what is just the impact that Coach Ray has had on the receiver room?
Obviously, he brought another dynamic, and then him playing the position in college and, you know, coaching it throughout his entire career, it's been really cool to see because he's such a technician, and just the different fundamentals we've learned this year and, you know, ways to prepare has been really cool. And I think it's going to help those young guys to be able to play faster and to move along further.
Has it been helpful having RJ around? I mean, him having not redshirted, of mm-hmm. course, and is he kind of with you guys constantly, or yeah. Is he kind of tasked with helping the whole passing offense, or what's his role?
Right, you know, a great player like RJ, you know, having him practice every single day, another set of eyes and somebody that can, you know, give you advice and tell you what he was seeing and what he thought about the route or what different kind of covers there was. You know, he's helped me and the other guys in the room tremendously this year, and it's been really cool having him part of the team.
What have you seen from SIU on film, and what are you kind of expecting come Saturday?
It looks like they have a lot of good athletes, and they play a lot of man coverage, so, you know, we're excited for the challenge, and, you know, they're going to be hungry because it's the last game of the season, so we got to expect, you know, whatever and be ready to go.
All right, thanks, man.
Thanks, Ross.
Appreciate it.
All right, we want to thank the North Dakota State Communications Department, the Athletic Department, for making both Lance and Darius available to us. We want to thank both athletes for their time. We really, really appreciate that. I want to thank you, Cole, for stepping in when we needed a guest host. And most importantly, I want to thank you guys, the listeners. Thank you for downloading once again. We really appreciate it. If you get a chance, hop on iTunes, hop on whatever podcast, you know, kind of developer that you use, however you get podcasts onto your phone, leave us a review. We really appreciate the ones that have 5 stars and even a comment. That all helps elevate us and frankly get our podcast into the hands of more and more listeners. We really appreciate that. So with that said, thanks once again. Go Bison.